to day five of this 6-day series. It's nice to see you all here again, in which we are investigating together the nature of what actually is so. And more specifically today, the nature of true freedom, or what Krishnamurti called freedom from the known. It would seem that the nature of true freedom is at least relatively, if not totally understood, within all of us here today. But even so, let's see if we can delve a little deeper and perhaps discover some remnants of mental conditioning that continue to bind us to deep-seated constructs of mind that have not yet let go. We all have these, including me. And it's a kind of a forever ongoing process as we go. And this then allows for an ever greater sense of liberation from the condition of mind than before, as these things get worked out. As this occurs, we discover with ever greater clarity what freedom from the known actually is, as attachments to the content of mind die away. True freedom is not found in a concept of mind. How could freedom be a concept that arises in consciousness? Concepts and thoughts are objects created of a mind that appear in awareness, and therefore are limited to that which appears. Whereas freedom occurs in the absence of attachment to that which appears in consciousness. True freedom, therefore, is limitless, meaning it is not limited to concepts and thoughts. True freedom has no boundaries, no limitations at all. It is totally free of attachment to the content of mind. This also means that true freedom is not experienced from the point of view of a self-center. The presence of true freedom occurs in the absence of a self-center, which is the absence of attachments to content created of mind. So there are no limitations when true freedom is present. Freedom from the known is not generated of mind, therefore is not realized in the same way that we experience the limited movements of mind. Nor is true freedom an insight or a vision that appears in consciousness. Regardless of how subtle or sublime such insights or visions might be, the presence of true freedom is felt, for lack of a better word, most often as a sense of release and lightheartedness, one might say, that has no self-center. And in that space, that freedom from the self, there is no tension, contradiction, or conflict that leads to stress, worry, and anxiety that is generally felt as a weight or constriction within our being when we are deeply entangled in the web of mind. We've all felt the reality of this at different times. True freedom is present when the conditioned mind is no longer in the foreground of conscious being, not unlike when we were a child, prior to when concepts of mind began to appear that caught our attention and thereby increasingly assumed center stage. But as we mature, a transformative movement, if allowed, can ensue that, coupled with periodic insights, leads to a better understanding of what true freedom is, that coincidentally occurs as freedom from attachment to the content of mind is ever more present in the foreground of conscious being, not unlike when we were a child. Only now we are more consciously aware of this reality, because this transformative movement occurring within us is directly related to the evolution of conscious awareness that cleanses our consciousness, as Krishnamurti put it, as we systematically awaken to the truth of what is in the eternally present now. Before listening to Krishnamurti's words today regarding the nature of true freedom, I'd like to reiterate something that Miles pointed out on day one. That even though each day of this six-day series has been given a title, which is a name, beginning with what is the nature of mind, followed by what is true meditation, and so on, the fact is the truth of what is indivisible, therefore cannot be divided into separate parts that are given names and then analyzed and discussed accordingly. Because living truth is one reality, not many, that in its totality is inconceivable of mind. So by giving each day a title or a name, I am not suggesting or implying that living truth can be divided into parts, which is what the mind does. I am instead attempting to point to the truth of what is by recognizing different aspects, one might say, of the totality of living truth expressing in the eternally present now, that encompasses the whole of being, which includes the activity of mind in humankind, as well as insights and meditative states and freedom from the known and enlightened being, all of which encompass the entire dynamic that is expressing now in various forms within human beings as a whole, along with awakenings and insights under the true nature of freedom and pure awareness that comes into conscious being as attachments to the content of mind weaken, dissolve, and ultimately disappear. In truth, life as a whole, expressing now, is not this or that, good or bad, or one way versus another. Life is all of it, the so-called good with the bad, that occurs ongoing in the eternally present now, including suffering from attachment to the content of mind, as well as freedom from attachment to the content of mind, brought about when one recognizes the presence of pure awareness in all that appears. All that is appearing and occurring now, in this present moment of time, includes the totality of life expressing now as one reality, not many, that encompasses the whole of creation, appearing as the universe in its totality, in the eternally present now. So when we speak of the limitations of mind and all that that entails, we are pointing to an aspect of the totality of being. Just as when we point to the nature of enlightened being, we are pointing to an aspect of the totality of being, as life expresses in the eternally present now, not only as and through human beings, but also as and through the universe as a whole, not just conceptually, but holistically, everywhere at once. So even though it might seem, from a conceptualized point of view, that we are attempting to approach the one life as if it were approachable from the standpoint of separate parts, the fact is that the one life appearing and evolving now includes all that appears in every moment of time, including frustrations, anxieties, and fears that sometimes come into the foreground of conscious being when the mind is actively engaged, as well as through freedom and love that sometimes come into the foreground of conscious being when the limitations of mind are not in play. All of this together is the one life appearing now. And we are attempting to investigate the truth of this here now, to better understand the truth of what is, which is the totality of being expressing now as the material universe, as well as pure conscious awareness of that which appears. So this said, let's now listen to what Krishnamurti had to say about the nature of what he called freedom from the known, which is freedom from attachments to the content of mind. What does it mean, this is Krishnamurti speaking now, to have a brain that is very awake, not limited to its own thoughts and memories? What does it mean to have a brain that is free from all the turmoil of life, all the pain, anxiety, and endless sorrow? Is it possible to have a brain that is totally free from attachments to the content of mind? A mind not influenced by experiences and the vast accumulation of knowledge? We generally live on the principle of punishment and reward, like a dog that's been trained. We reward him when he obeys. We too are rewarded for our actions, for obedience to social norms. Such demands are born out of the limitations of mind. The brain is the center of thought, and thought is forever limited in all circumstances. Thought might invent the extraordinary, whether theoretical or immeasurable, but the invention is always limited. This is why one has to be completely free from all the travails and toil of life arising from the self-centered activity of mind for the unlimited to be. So the question is, can one be free from attachment to the past? Can one allow memory and thoughts, whether considered to be good or bad, to go by without holding to the memory or the thought? The moment the mind is occupied with a memory or thought, good or bad, then one is concerned with the past. Instead, if you really watch and listen, not just verbally, but profoundly, then you might see that there is a stability and a peace that is not found of mind. This peace is freedom from attachment to the past. Without freedom from the past, there is no freedom at all, because the mind is never new, fresh, innocent. It is only a fresh, innocent mind that is free. The essence of freedom lies in understanding the whole mechanism of habit, both conscious and unconscious. It is not a question of ending habit, but of seeing the whole structure of habit. One must observe how habits are formed, and how by denying or resisting one habit, another habit is created in the pattern that follows. What matters, however, is to be totally conscious of the entire pattern of habit. For then, as you will see for yourself, habits are no longer formed. A mind that is attentive from moment to moment, attentive to what one is saying, to the movement of one's hands, attentive to one's thoughts and feelings, will discover that the formation of further habits comes to an end. To observe the formation of habits, the mind must be silent. And the mind is silent when it has understood the process of time. And this requires watchfulness in the present moment. A mind such as this is free, not from anything, but simply is free. Most of us only know freedom from something, which is not freedom, but is a reaction or response to thoughts and feelings that appear. We avoid, deny, and reject the present moment and call that freedom. A mind that seeks freedom is not free. A mind is free when it understands the fact of what is without translating, condemning, judging, just being free of all that. Such a mind is an innocent mind. It is innocent because it is free, not from anything, but free from itself. It is only such a mind that perceives that which is true, which is not bounded by time. Freedom from distraction is difficult because we do not fully understand the process that brings about attachment to thinking and feeling, which in itself becomes the means of distraction. In other words, thinking and feeling becomes the means by which we are distracted. Because the human mind is capable of creating the illusion of separateness, the nature of this illusion must be fully understood before one can be wholly free from distractions created of mind. Mind must be utterly still and silent so that when concepts and thoughts appear, they do not become a distraction. All thinking born of knowledge is limited, partial, and never free. So there is no such thing as freedom of thought. But we can begin to discover a freedom which is not generated of thought, in which one is simply aware of all conflicts and influences impinging upon the mind through pure perception of what is, which is to see that which is false or true immediately. Immediate perception of what is the essential factor that brings about freedom from the known. So that one sentence basically says it all. Immediate perception of what is the essential factor that brings about freedom from the known. You see the truth immediately, without analysis, without reasoning, without all the things that intellect creates, all of which postpones pure perception. When you perceive truth instantaneously, you are free. You don't need to make an effort to be free. You are free, which is why pure perception is essential for total freedom to be. No form of external or internal compulsion will set you free. All compulsion, however subtle, is the outcome of ignorance. It is born of the desire for reward or the fear of punishment. To understand the whole nature of this trap that brings you to the past is to be free of attachments to the content of mind entirely. No person, no system, no belief can set you free. Realizing the truth of this is the only liberating factor. You have to see it for yourself and not merely be persuaded by another that this is so. You must let go of all attachment and take a voyage on an uncharted sea. To free the mind from all conditioning, you must see the totality of the nature of mind without identifying with thought. Do you ever see without thought entering in? Have you ever listened or looked without reaction, without comparison? Can you be aware of your conditioning? Be aware without reacting, without deciding whether it's right or wrong? Just be aware. It is only when you are aware of the totality of being without reaction that your conditioning disappears. And disappearance of your conditioning is freedom from the self. Disappearance of your conditioning is freedom from the self. So this might be a good time to ask take a little break and ask if there's anything anyone would like to bring out now regarding any of this been said so far. And if so, now is your time to speak. I said this at another meeting we had recently. It is kind of it's kind of awkward in a way, because the teaching is all about the silence, right? Resting in the silence. And so we all get resting in the silence, and then I ask the question, so let's talk. It's kind of back asswards in a way. So I understand the silence and appreciate the silence, but if there is someone who wants to speak, this is the time.
How did that, I think it was the last sentence that you said, is disappearance of your conditioning is freedom.
From the known.
From the known. From,
yeah, from your conditioning, basically. The known, you know, of course, is that which is known to mind. It's the all the concepts, all the experiences, all of everything, all the memories that are just available there. I don't like the term stored up, because I don't think they're stored up in quite that way. It seems more that they're the synapses are just open to see. The mind holds everything, and the brain, your brain, for instance, my brain, synapses are kind of attuned to those things that are become our memories. My memories are slightly different than your memories, because our tuning is a little bit different. But regardless of what the memory is, it's all created of mind in the first place, and then it's there to recreate, to be brought back into consciousness, and it repeats itself over and over again. And awareness is just observing this activity going on in its pure silence. So once one begins to see that, the reality of how that works, the mind does what mind does, but if we remain conditioned, attached to that conditioned mind, which is conditioned by all the memories, past, as Krishnamurti says so often, the past, we are stuck in the web of mind, more or less, and can't see beyond mind. We're actually looking at our minds rather than seeing the truth. And so that pure perception of truth in a given moment, which is what a moment of awakening is, for instance, it's an opening to a pure perception of what is in your world, sort of, because it usually is somewhat personal awakening, you know, to your circumstance. But it's like opening the door, saying, see, how do you like this? It's different than that does come from the mind. And when you're in that mode, if you will, in a state of pure perception, state of pure meditation, resting in pure awareness, those are all words we use to describe being in that place, if you will, then you're not attached to the conditioned mind, which means you're free. As Krishnamurti says, just be free. There's no path to get there. You either are or you are not. There's no two ways about it, so to speak. Or there's no sorta and sorta not. The freedom is in the detachment, so that and the dissolution. And as Krishnamurti says over and over again in different ways and sometimes same ways, is looking at that attachment, looking at that reality as it arises within you in the now, is what actually dissolves it. Because if you're looking at it in that way, there's a kind of a separation from it that occurs. and you're standing more in awareness rather than standing in mind, regurgitating past memory. And it is an evolutionary process, you know, little by little you become, oh, I see, and I see, and I see. Little by little there's a, and the breaks occur, the strings of attachment occur, new ones are presented, then the breaks occur, and new ones are presented, and there's great more and more liberation that occurs. And then sometimes moments of great, you know, great liberation, that feeling, if you will, of freedom. I don't know how to describe it. It's not a seeing, it's a feeling.